Today I'm going to do something that's totally different, okay? I have never in all of my ministry taught this sermon. And this has been really one of those weeks where it's just been so difficult. And boy, I rushed from a funeral yesterday here and came to the office and put all this together. And as I felt the Lord was leading me to teach on something I'd never taught on at Christmas ever. And so this morning, here we are, we're 10 days away from Christmas, and we're preparing our hearts to celebrate the real Christmas, not the world's Christmas, amen? See, we know the true meaning of it all. We know that Jesus' birth not only changed the world, continues to change the world, it even changed our calendar, amen? And so this morning, remember that last Sunday, we were way into eternity when there's just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that divine planning that put together the decision that was made to send Jesus into this world to be born God in the flesh. Amen? So we talked about that last Sunday. Now we're going to leave eternity. We're going to get our feet back on the earth. And we're going to talk about our text this morning here in Matthew, of course. And remember the last Old Testament book, Malachi. From that book until Matthew, that time period is around 400 years. And during that time, of course, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, all these groups were forming in a deeper way. But there were 400 years, not one recorded prophetic word from God was given. So there was 400 years of silence. It's interesting because I'm going to talk to you this morning about the silent man at Christmas, okay? And I'm going to start off with a question. We're 10 days away from Christmas, and you remember how difficult it is especially if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping. This side said yes. This side, Scrooge. I'm sorry. Is it Scrooge? No, Grinch. I don't know who it is. But listen very carefully now. If you are struggling to find the absolute perfect gift this morning for your family, for your wife, or your husband, or your child, well, I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. But this morning, I'm going to talk about Joseph. And I don't know, Joseph, for some reason, I'm never taught on this text. He so intrigued me. Joseph, meaning the husband of Mary, the mother of God. Amen? And I started thinking about him, and I was looking at Mary, going through Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, and I was looking at all the words that Mary spoke. I mean, you have the song of Mary. She talked with angels. She talked with even the Lord Jesus Christ, her son, later on into the Gospels. And then Elizabeth and John, all these people. And then when you think about her, I mean, even her last recorded words are in John 2:5. Remember the wedding at Cana? And when they ran out of wine, and Mary went unto Jesus and said, we're out of wine. And he said, woman, why have you come to me? And my hour has not come. And then Mary, in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 5, turned to the servants and says, whatever he says to do, you do it. Now, that was the last words of Mary. That's a very good word. That's a very good word. Whatever Jesus says to do, you do it. Amen? And that's a word to us. And I started thinking about that, all the words of Mary, beautiful teenage girl. Then when I started thinking about Joseph, how many recorded words in the Bible do you find by Joseph? None. Not one word. I mean, not one word. Yet heaven spoke to Joseph, amen? And now we have to, let's preface this. How is it, why would the Holy Spirit, you know that Joseph talked, okay? Why did the Holy Spirit not record one word from the incredible man Joseph? And that started me thinking. I said, well, Lord, why is that? So I'm hoping this morning I can kind of bring this together where we can find out. Because when you think of the Christmas story, loved one, what do you think of? You see Mary, okay? You see the manger. You see the shepherds that come to see the manger. There, Jesus in the manger, of course. You see, the wise men and all the things that you see. But do you ever think about Joseph? I think Joseph is one of the most remarkable men in the entire Bible, but yet he remains silent. Did you see the manger that was up there? You know, and Mary could be there, and if you, anybody could play the part of Joseph, he doesn't say a word. He just do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing. What's your line? And so you got to think about that. Now, I want you to think about how remarkable Joseph was. I mean, here God chose out of everyone on this planet, he chose at that time only one man to be a foster dad or whatever you want to call it, step five, whatever, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Joseph had no idea as he was there that literally Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world. Do you understand? And yet Joseph, right there, that what a potential father that God chose. Now, remember that Joseph, when God chose Joseph, remember, number one, he was a descendant of David. So was Mary. She was a descendant of King David as well. But the Bible says in Matthew 13 that Joseph, he was a carpenter. And so God in eternity, he chose Joseph to share that divine plan, if you will. Would you say that's probably the greatest adventure in the world? I mean, there you are with young Mary and so forth, the mother of God. And how remarkable, what I want you to see about this man, when he discovers that the one he is engaged to or betrothed to, look what he does when he finds that she is with child and that child is not his. Let's begin in verse 18, the silent man at Christmas. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, did you catch that? Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 18, an incredible verse. I mean, it is pregnant with meaning and no pun intended. Do you understand? I mean, if we'd have gone back and began in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 1, we could go 17 verses that proved Jesus's human genealogy, but only one verse here to prove, if you will, his divinity. Now, the word betrothed, we can say today we're engaged, but it's deeper than an engagement. You come together and it's about a time period of a year. And during that time, they are considered husband and they are wife and so forth. That betrothment could only be dissolved. It was so powerful, it could only be dissolved by a certificate of divorce or by death. So it was a permanent relationship. But look what it says, before they came together, before they were intimate, before there was any sexual activity between them, look what it says. But Mary was found. That is a very profound word, okay? It means that Joseph discovered that she was with child and he is blown away. He can't wrap his head around it. Look at it. But he was found. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, what did Joseph say about all of that? He didn't say anything. But you know he had to say something. Amen? Okay. Men, amen? Yeah, let's bring it up to the 21st century. Men, would that mess up your wedding plans? I mean, you love this girl, and I mean, there you are, you're going to marry her, you're going to stand at the altar, and she's showing. You know what I'm saying? No, that wouldn't bother you, would it? No, listen, instead of a honeymoon, you're not going to Hawaii, you're going to go start building a nursery in your home. You're getting ready to start doing all those things, and you're getting ready to do something else. You're getting ready to raise another person's child that is not your own. Are y'all with me? Think of that for a moment. And your fiance, evidently, you think in your heart, how did this happen? I mean, she's been with someone else. Now, I want you to listen to her explanation with a 21st century mindset by turning to Luke 1:28. Hold your place, and let me just give you the explanation for Mary. So Joseph here, she says, Joseph, an angel appeared to me An angel. Yeah, an angel. Well, what did this angel say? Look at it in verse 28. Well, the angel said to me, Joseph, he said, rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, not above women, but among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, oh, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I have never been intimate with any person, any man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you or rest upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is born, to be born, will be called the Son of Joseph. No, the Son of God. Now, I don't want to add to Scripture, but I mean, I have to sit here and think, okay, Joseph didn't know what was going on. Do you understand me? He didn't get it. He didn't have a clue. And maybe Joseph said to Mary, and what did you give any kind of response to the angel? Huh? Mary, what did you say? Well, it's found in Luke 1:38. What did Mary say? She said, yeah, I told the angel, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now listen, you know in his mind, and I'll prove it in a moment, but you know in his mind, I mean, you know, Mary's with child, and she's saying, I'm with child, but I've never been unfaithful to you. Would that kind of blow you away? Huh? Yes, of course. And so, I mean, you might be saying, well, I'm going to tell Joseph he's dreaming, man. You know, like he's dreaming. Well, that's exactly what he's getting ready to do. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, you want to know what kind of guy he was? He was upright. He loved God. He loved God's word. He was a good man. And not wanting to make Mary a public example, meaning he didn't want to expose her to disgrace. He didn't want to disgrace her name or bring reproach upon her. And he didn't want her to make her a public example. And how would he make her a public example? By stoning. That was the law. Okay? So in his mind, loved one, he was thinking, she sinned. And so look what he says. Not wanting to make her a public example, was minded, or literally, he decided to do something, to put her away secretly. The word put away means divorce her. So he decided, I'm going to divorce her quietly. I'm going to divorce her quickly. I'm going to do it secretly. I don't want anyone to know about it. And back then, now, Jewish law, you could go to two witnesses and they quietly, and it could be dissolved. Now, and so he said, that's what I'm going to do. Now, what I want you to see is this. Did Joseph love Mary? Yes. Oh, man, listen. He loved her so much, no matter what she had done, which in his mind she had done something, he loved her. He did not want to hurt her or harm her or even leave her in any way. And he says in verse 20, look what happened. But while Joseph thought about these things, about, okay, you know, she's with child, and how did that happen, and so forth. He started processing on what to do or not to do. So he started thinking about these things, and look what happened. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what? One more time. Dream. Very important. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you, Joseph, you're going to call his name Jesus. That word means Savior, and Savior implies his mission. Did Jesus come to, at Luke 19:10, I have come to seek and to save those that which are lost, amen? That's why he came. And you shall call his name Jesus, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you think he understood that? Did the Jews think that their Messiah was going to come and then and die on a cross? No, not at all. They thought they were gonna, the kingdom would come. Now listen, the greatest news ever spoken in that day and in today's day, Jesus is going to forgive you of your sins. He's born to forgive those of their sins. That which separated me from God, you from God, every man from God, Jesus came to pay our penalty. Amen? Oh, I thank God for that. Listen, did God send Jesus into the world to condemn the world? John 3:17. No, but to save the world, loved one. We know in 1 John 3:5 it says, and God sent his son, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. But look what the angel said now to him again. He said to Joseph, do not be afraid. Now listen carefully. He's not saying, don't be afraid of me, the angel, okay? He's saying, don't be afraid to marry Mary. Don't be afraid of that, Joseph. Even though she's beginning to show, even though you have not consummated this marriage, don't be afraid. But the angel's also saying something else that's going to come about, because evidently something had happened to where people were talking. Because you know as well as I do, was there a social stigma attached with our Lord? Yes. You better believe it. In other words, what did the religious rulers of that day, remember when Jesus started teaching, what did they say about our Lord? In John's Gospel, I believe it's in chapter 8, I don't know, 41, right in that area, Jesus was telling them that if you believed in Abraham, you would also believe in me. And they looked at him and they said, listen, you be born of fornication. That's what they told our Lord. You're illegitimate. We don't know if Joseph is your dad, and we don't know if it's another man, but you were born of fornication. How would you like that stigma attached all the days of their marriage, but all the day of Jesus' life? They said, you know what? You're nothing but a Samaritan, and you have a demon. What a word to say unto our Lord. But he says, don't be afraid of that. And listen, he says, look at it again. Which is conceived, that which is conceived in her, that's past tense. Joseph, yes, you're betrothed to her. She is already with child. But here's what you need to see. Not because she was unfaithful, but because she was faithful. Remember what Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Okay? Now, here's the problem. When it comes to the Christmas stories, all of us, the church and all the church, we're too familiar, aren't we? You can talk to me. This is the second service that I love. First service is hard, but not you. No, listen, we're too familiar. I mean, I don't want to add the scripture right there, but listen, I mean, Joseph didn't say one word. I mean, but do you think that maybe Joseph, like I said in the early service, do you think Joseph was thinking about himself saying, I think the cheese has slid off the cracker, man. I don't think, I'm just not thinking right, you know, and so forth. Now, last night when I got here later and put this together, I want to read the questions that I asked myself and to make sure I say I'm right. I said this. Why did an angel appear to Mary? In other words, appear. Here I am, and there's the angel. But an angel didn't do that for Joseph. I mean, when you study the Bible, we need to ask questions, don't we? And I'm going, why didn't that happen? Let me use another one. Why did God use a dream for Joseph, but he did not use a dream for Mary? Why did God, let's go look in the Old Covenant, why did God use a burning bush for Moses? Why did he use a manger for the shepherds? That's the only clue he gave them. You're going to find a manger, a child lying in it, swaddling cloths. Get into Bethlehem. I mean, there's the clue. Why was it that God only gave the magi, the wise men, the message of the star? Nothing else. They didn't have the Bible. How was it that they believed one thing? They believed that star was going to lead them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gave them that image. You know why God does things like that? It's because, I don't know if you know this, we're all different. Amen? We're all in unity, but we're oneness, but not sameness. Amen? So we're all different. And, you know, we all have different personalities, and God knows that. He created us. We have a different emotional mindset. And so, you know, he communicates to us, some of us, all of us, in a different manner, I believe. So he knows how to speak to each person. So Joseph, he says, I'm going to speak to him the best way I can, this silent man, and I'm going to do so by dreams. Matter of fact, he's going to give him four dreams. Isn't it amazing that angels can be in your dreams? Okay, that blew me away, Bill. Thank you. Man, that's heavy. All right. Look at Matthew 1:20. And we're going to reread it. While he, Joseph, thought about these things, he processed what to do or not to do, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what? Dream. Okay, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. Did he do it? Absolutely. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. This is a warning of a future event after the birth of our Lord and Savior. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a what? In a dream, saying, arise, take the child. He didn't say, take your child. You see the capital C in your Bible? He says, take the young child and his mother. Oh, and then he uses a word, flee. That means to run, get out of town. There is danger. Do it right now. Flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word. And here's the reason why. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So when he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. That's Hosea 11:1, by the way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Do you think that Joseph, the man without one word, is a man of incredible faith? Man, unbelievable. Isn't it amazing? See, God gave Joseph the dream. He didn't give Mary a dream. And that means that Joseph had to talk to her about what he needed to do, what God, the angel, told him to do. And Mary did it. And that means this, that Mary trusted her husband. Mary believed in her husband. And she believed that he hears from God. Wives, do you believe your husbands hear from God? Well, that's a word, isn't it? Mothers, fathers, listen to me. Let's come up to the 21st century and let's take their place just for a moment. And there you are. You've got to do what they have to do. Herod is after your kid, your infant, and he wants to kill. And he says, I want you to flee right now. Flee to Egypt. You know, it's like going to Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Flee to Egypt and so forth. But here's the thing. You have to depart by night. You load your kids up and you're ready to go. But the problem is, this is back in that day. You don't have that SUV. You don't have that heater. You know, you don't have that navigation system. You don't have a cell phone. You don't have Siri. Are you with me? Come on, guys. So you and your wife, here you go. You're going to obey that command from that angel, your wife, your infant child. And by night, in the middle of the night, you depart Bethlehem. Then you keep going. You're going. You're going down by the Mediterranean Sea. Then all of a sudden you're going through Gaza. And then after Gaza, you cross over the Sinai Desert. And then from the Sinai Desert, you finally cross over and you're into Egypt. You see the pyramids. You're along the Nile River. And there you are. And you've traveled 350 miles. Man, can you think for a moment that they were carrying the creator, sustainer of the world, from there all the way into Egypt? Does that blow you away? I mean, think about that for a moment. And not only that, now they're going to have to go back, but this time they're going to go to Nazareth, and that's 450 miles they got to travel. Look at 2:19 of Matthew. Look at this incredible guidance. Watch this now. And when Herod was dead, Matthew 2:19, when Herod was dead, if you want to know how he died, read Josephus, the Jewish historian of antiquities, and read it, and you'll find out that he recorded that his total insides were just filled with maggots, and he was convulsing constantly, and then he finally just died. Herod was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. He was raised as a Jew, but he was put into, as king. He was a puppet king of Rome, if you will. And he was a strange fellow. He was only about 4 feet, 1 inch tall. A little short king, okay? But he was a master builder. He built Masada, and of course the temple there in Jerusalem, rebuilding it. But this is the Herod the Great, who had all the little babes, the male children, massacred, remember? And he had a son, and his son was Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas is the one who had John the Baptist beheaded, remember him? Now, and then he had a grandson, Herod Agrippa. And Herod Agrippa was the one who, in Acts chapter 12, I think it's verse 1 and 2, that Herod Agrippa himself, you know what he did? He went in with a sword and he saw James, the brother of John, and he ran him through with a sword and he killed him. Now, he died on March 11th, 4 BC. So, when Herod was dead, look what happens. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a what? A dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child, his mother, go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." He arose, he took the young child, his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Verse 22, but when Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So that means he stopped. Now look what happened. And being warned by God in a what? In a dream, look what he did. He turned aside into the region of Galilee. He came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Now listen carefully. It's not unbelievable, but it's incredible that God not only protected, but he directed the most important family on earth. Amen? I mean, think about that. And he did so by dreams. When you go through the Bible, I mean, Abraham, Jacob, Daniel, Joseph, I mean, so many people, God sent dreams to them. Amen? Did you know that even Pilate's wife, remember what happened with Pilate's wife? The Bible records for us, she comes unto Pilate and says, "Do not do anything with this just man, for I have had many dreams about him or concerning him." So God is indeed a giver of dreams. Now look at verse 22 of Matthew 1. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin," not a virgin. Now the prophet there is Isaiah. That happened 700 years before this scripture, okay, before this happened. And that's Isaiah 7:14. So God, it says the virgin, he already knew and who the virgin was going to be, amen? That's right. So it says, "Behold, the virgin," not a virgin, "shall be with child, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took him his wife, and did not know her, kept her a virgin, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, meaning Joseph, he called his name Jesus, Savior. There in Bethlehem, there in the manger, Joseph, who was protecting his family, if you will, looked upon a son that was not his from his own wife and named him Jesus, named him Savior, the Savior of the world. Now, the silent man here at Christmas, isn't God chose him? Amen? Did God choose Mary? In eternity, amen? When did God choose you and me? Eternity, Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world. Jesus, when we were saved, Jesus said in John 15:16, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed that you would go and bear much fruit." Amen? Jesus chose you. We're a chosen people of God. But what I want you to see, Joseph, not one recorded word. And you think about Mary or Zacharias or them, they talked, everything's recorded. Like, for example, remember whenever Zacharias, there he was at the temple, and he was offering incense and so forth, and the angel appeared to him and says, "Oh, Zacharias, I have good news for you. Your prayer has been answered." Now, he was old, remember? and his wife was old. And so, and that prayer was, you're going to have a son. And so he's talking to the angel and so forth. And then this is what he says in Luke 1:18. And Zacharias said to the angel, well, I'm going to have a son. In other words, well, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is, this is so cool, my wife is well advanced in years. Now, men, you need to remember that, because that's probably the most gentle way to say your wife is old. Amen? And so he was saying, listen, have you seen me lately? Yeah, I mean, you're an angel from heaven. I am a worn out old man, and look at my wife. She's older than I am, man. And so that's what he's saying right there. And you know what happened? Did he believe the angel? No. Now there's a man who was silent for 9 months. We could teach on that one, huh? No, he said, and the angel said, no, you're going to be mute, okay? And you know, his tongue was loosed whenever it was given the name John, okay? But I don't have time to go into that. But think about Mary. When the angel spoke to Mary, it's about the virgin birth. She was the first person to question the virgin birth, by the way. Mary said unto the angel, well, listen, how can this be? Since I don't know a man. That's a great question. I've never been with anybody. How can a person have a baby and never, it takes two to tango? I mean, come on, you know? And that's what was going. Now listen, here's what I want you to see. You know, again, I say, why in the world did the Holy Spirit not record one word about Joseph? And not one word. And you know why? What I've learned from him? His actions speak so much louder than words. Faith without works is dead, amen? The moment, you're talking about a man, the moment he awoke from the dream, did he, from the angel, say, you take her as a wife, did he do it? Yes. Boy, yes, he did. He did that immediately. So that leads me to ask you a question. God gave four dreams unto this silent man, okay, Joseph. Now, what do all four dreams, what do they have in common? And I have to do this quickly because of the time that we have, because I had time in the first service, okay? Now, Matthew 1:20, when we look at this dream given here, the angel said, go ahead, don't be afraid to take your wife. Did he go take his wife? Yes. Did he do it immediately? Yes. I mean, instantly. Look at 2:13 of Matthew. Gave him another dream, and it says, arise, take the young child, go to Egypt, stay there until I call for you. And then it says in verse 14, look what he did. Joseph arose. Joseph took. He departed Egypt. And I mean, instantly he did those things. Look at 2:19 of Matthew. Had another dream from the Lord, an angel, arise, take, young child, mother, go. Look at verse 21. Joseph arose, he took, he came. Instant obedience. He didn't call his pastor. I'm bringing it up to our days. He didn't say, let me get on the phone with the prayer group. You know, let me call my accountability partner. He didn't say, let's get a group together and let's pray and fast and see what this is. He obeyed. Immediately, instantly, he was obedient to what God said to do. Amen? Look at verse 22 of Matthew 2 again. There he says he was warned of God in a dream. He came, he dwelt, he did exactly what he said. So what did all these dreams have in common? Instant obedience. He was instantly obedient. Let me tell you something. Delayed obedience can cost you. Did you know that? Delayed obedience can be very expensive, loved one. Now, what an example. I mean, here we have a model. He never said a word, but we have a model of a man of action. He obeyed, instantly obeyed. Jesus said in John 14:15, he said this, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? The apostle of John, the apostle of love, in 1 John 5:3, he says, this is love for God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments, they are not burdensome. Joseph was an incredible, remarkable man of faith. He believed God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, you cannot please the Lord. Amen? Listen. Are you obedient? Am I obedient? Instant obedience. James 1:22, he wasn't just a hearer of the word of God. He was a doer of the word of God. Amen? John the Apostle writes again in 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know him. By this, okay, what is it? Well, if we keep his commandments, it says, he who says, I know him, I'm intimate with him, I have fellowship with him, I call myself a Christian, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I'm going to ask you a question. Think about this. Did Joseph have free will? Okay. Do we have free will? Okay. Think if Joseph said, I don't know, man, this is a little bit too weird for me. Think if he had not been obedient to God. Boy, think about that. But he was obedient. Amen. Now, that was a man after God's own heart, believe me. Listen, when you are obedient to God, does that mean when you say, okay, I'm doing exactly what God says to do from his word, does that mean there's not going to be circumstances or problems? No, not at all. And so we need to remove that kind of thinking. But I tell you, when you're obedient to the Lord, listen to what he says. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those heart who is loyal to him. Now, I quickly went through all of that, but I have just enough time now. I've been watching the clock because I don't want to hold you. The kids are over there and, you know, and all that. Although I could go ahead and just preach for another hour. I opened the service with a Christmas question. I said, are you struggling to find the perfect gift for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for a blended family, whatever it may be? I'm going to tell you something. What we just saw here in our text, here is the greatest gift that you can, greatest Christmas gift that you can give to your wife, your husband, or your child, the greatest gift right now and into 2025. You know, I looked and I said, Lord, there's not one recorded word again about Joseph. And it was almost, and I'm not saying I heard anything, but it was almost, because I wrote it down, like the Lord was speaking directly to me. And it was like the Lord said, Joseph's life did not need any spoken words. And I went, oh my Lord. See, Joseph is an example. He is a man of action. I mean, he is a doer of the word of God. He did not have the talk. He had the walk. Amen. I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we don't really live like we do. Oh, man, I looked, oh, Lord, he was a man of faith. He heard the word of God. He instantly obeyed the word of God. Now, listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question. Guys, men, listen to me now. Joseph, the silent man, he did not ever say, because there's nothing recorded of him, but listen, he never said, I am the spiritual leader of my home. It's not there. But you know what he did? The silent man, I'll tell you what he did. He showed us that he was the spiritual leader of his home. Think about that. Now listen, guys, man, are you the spiritual leader of your home? If not, listen to me. You want to give your family the greatest spiritual gift you could ever, ever give them? It will change your home forever, being the spiritual leader of your home. Listen, being the spiritual leader of your home is something you do, not something that you are. Oh, and how that is so needed today. I'm going to ask you another question about Joseph. Even though I rushed through our text, I want to ask you another question. Was he an example of a husband's role in marriage? Yes, he was. And listen, I can honestly say that Joseph and Mary, their marriage was made in heaven. Amen? Without a shadow of a doubt. Now, we know the scripture here in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, listen, we're talking about Christmas now. We're talking about our families. It says, husbands, love your wives. The word there is agape, the highest kind of love. It is God's love, and it is also a command. It's not an option or a suggestion. Husbands, love your wives. And then he tells us how and the example. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that sacrificial love. In other words, that Jesus loves us so much, did he die for us? Absolutely. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did Joseph know anything about the church? No. Did he know anything about the command of Ephesians 5:25? No. But here's what I want you to see. He demonstrated that kind of love to Mary. Oh, listen, not one word from Joseph do we have recorded. And we look at his life, and he knew something. He knew that agape, which is the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, he knew that he didn't treat it as a noun. Because agape is not a noun. It's a verb. This love is a love, pardon me, that has to be demonstrated. Amen? Just see the agape of God. It's a love that is demonstrated. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated, that word means proved, his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Amen? What a man of God Joseph was. Listen, true headship, men, in your home means this. You can only rule your home by the agape of God. If you rule it any other way, you have lost your right to rule your home. Merry Christmas. That went over good, didn't it? And that is the truth. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Joseph's love for Mary, was it unconditional love? Yes. I look at him. Not one word. I never heard him say, I love you, but boy, did he demonstrate it. The way he treated her. Listen, Joseph saved Mary from sorrow, from shame, from reproach, from ruin, from death by stoning. Amen? He loved her. He could have put her, listen, she had a baby. He's trying to figure it all out, but he loved her so much. He said, maybe I'll just give her a bill of divorcement, but I've got to take care of her. I'll put her someplace secretly or whatever. Listen. You know what this means? It means that he believed in his wife. He believed her. It means that he trusted Mary. It means that he loved Mary. I'm going to tell you something, man. There is no greater Christmas gift that you can give unto your wife and then your children, and that is to love your wife God's way. Not your way, but I mean God's way. Men, listen to me. Can you imagine, say, you know what? God, that's your word. That's a command. I'm a child of God. And if your commandments are my enablements, will you start helping me to love my wife that way? I want to love my wife that way. And if you don't, let me tell you, I say it in love now. If you don't, it means that you're saying that your confidence is not in God's word. Your confidence is in you. Your faith is not in God's word. Your faith is in your ability. God says, I created your wife, and I created her to be loved only one way. Merry Christmas. Amen? Amen. Listen, that's the way it is. That's the word of God. Joseph, the silent example, he loved her. I mean, listen, he loved her even though that he, you know, I mean, come on, he's just like you or me, and he was going, who, there's a child, she's pregnant, but do you understand? Yeah, loved one. But he did something else. He did something else that really moved me. And Joseph, he protected his family. I mean, Joseph protected the pre-existent, holy, eternal son of the living God in the womb of Mary. Took her all miles after miles after miles in night, not being led by a dream, by an angel in a dream. What an incredible man, a remarkable man of faith. Listen to me. Joseph protected his family, mom's dad. Listen to me. There's a lot of Herods in our world just like there are back then. And Herod wanted to destroy the Christ child. Amen? Well, the Herods today, listen, they're out. And they want to destroy not only your marriage, they want to destroy your children. And we all know his name. His name is the devil. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, listen, parents, the greatest gift that you can give your children, two things. Number one, protect them. Number two, be their example. Be their example. Oh, it says, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, meaning fathers and mothers, or parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition or the instruction of the Lord. And if you don't, did you know that someone else will? You know, a moment ago, my granddaughter and I and Becky and all them, we were back there and during the worship, and she was watching me lift my hands, and she started clapping her hands and moving like her grandpapa. And I know she was going, man, he's got those Elvis moves, and, you know. But I was being something to her. I was being an example to her. I didn't speak to her. She looked at me, I looked at her. Loved one, listen to me. Don't tell your children to pray. You teach your children to pray. You want to be a blessing, teach them. Don't tell them. Don't tell your child, okay, time, go read your Bible. No, you teach them to read your Bible. I have pictures of Thomas when he couldn't even walk, in bed with me with the children's Bible, you know, laying in bed, and I'm reading, and we're reading. He can't read, but we start young. You know, we're an example. The greatest thing that you can do is they see you. They see you pray. They see you love one another. They see you help people. Amen? In other words, it's all about what you are doing, not so much what you are saying. No. Listen, to be raised in a home. No, to be raised in a Christian home. To be raised in a home that loves Jesus. Is there anything greater than that? To be raised in a home where the Bible is not only read, but the Bible is believed. What a home. That's what's needed. Listen to me now, parents and all Christians. Yeah, listen, your actions, not what comes out of your mouth, your actions speak louder than words. That's what Joseph, the silent man at Christmas, that's what he taught me. Joseph, I looked at him, he did not speak one word, but everything he did spoke volumes. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Study his life. Look at his example of obedience. Look at his example of love, his wife. Look what he did. He was a brave man. And let me tell you what he did. He put God Almighty first. And when you do that, God will speak to you. Not only through the Word of God, He will speak to your heart. I encourage you in love. Men, if you're not the spiritual leader of your home, that doesn't mean the spiritual dictator or bully, okay? It means that you love your wife like Christ loved the church. It's more than saying, I love you. And wives, it tells you in the Bible, what does your husband need? What's that one word? Respect. Respect. Ephesians 5:33. Wives, see that you love your husbands and that you reverence him or respect him. Listen, you guys are on an adventure of life. Life is short. Your children, you protect them. Please protect your kids. Know what's on that phone. Know what's on that computer. Know who's out there. Know where they're at. You know what I'm saying? Know where your children is. I did a funeral yesterday of a family that's been in my heart for over 30 years. Watching the kids grow up. And I buried the boy yesterday. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. Parents, you have to protect your children. Love them. And the best way you protect him is this: I watch my daddy, and my daddy does this, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen? My mama does this, and this is, I'm going to do what my mama does, because she didn't say it. She lived it. And when you do that, it'll change their lives. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory as we are now in the very heart of the Christmas season. Lord God, thank you for this silent man called Joseph. Thank you that we can learn from the Word of God, Lord, and we see things that we've never seen before. Thank you that we can always go deeper in the Word of God. Father, I pray over every man, every marriage, every wife, every husband, all of them, Lord. Let the spiritual mantle, the loving spiritual mantle from heaven fall upon them to be the spiritual leaders, if they're not, in their homes. Oh, Lord, let their marriage blossom. Every marriage at Calvary, let it blossom and bloom like never before. Oh, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's